it's time. It is that time. Time for Styles and Watkins.
You can join the show by texting 916-339-1140. Find us on YouTube at Sactown Sports 1140.
It's time for Alan Styles and Chris Watkins.
Yes, yes, yes. On a Thursday, we are so close to Friday and the weekend. And what better way to power through the rest of the week than with the NFL draft. Ooh. That is right. I know Chris is excited
I'm
for this.
Nervous.
As a Vikings fan, I got buddies hitting me up, Raider fans. Al, how are we going to get up there? Yeah. Are we going to get Jaden? Are we going to get Jaden Daniels? What are we going to do? I know everyone is excited. Even Niner fans are excited. I saw something, Chris.
Yep.
It was a mock draft, and, you know, Dave is saying, oh, I don't know about the draft. I love it. It's like an airport. There's just so much hope. As I've told you before, there's so much hope. Simone behind the glass, and I saw Xavier Worthy in a mock draft. He's the guy who ran what tied the fastest 40 ever, a 4.22, something insane like that. Mock draft has him going to the Niners. That's one way to figure out if Brock has a noodle arm or not, because he's going to be burning if the Niners go in that direction. So we have all the draft coverage for you. We also have our guy, Sactown Sports 49ers insider Emil Fragoso, joining us tomorrow to go over the melee and what ends up happening tonight, sponsored by Xfinity Sports Zone, the place to find game stats, scores, schedules, and more personalized for you. But of course, as a flagship for the Niners and the Kings, we do have plenty of Kings talk to get into as we continue to break down. Look, outstanding show yesterday. If it gets hot in the booth and it's not that hot outside, I know everybody says Sacramento is going to be hot.
Ooh,
we will
you.
See. Going to fry an egg on the cement. And that's what it was like yesterday, talking about the exit interviews for one Monty McNair and Mike Brown. And they were what they were, Chris.
Yeah.
They were what they were. And look, I don't know what we were expecting. I cannot wait to hear from Brendan and Frankie. That's at 11:30, who they were in the building. So, look, if anybody has got smoke for media and asking questions, call in and say it to Brendan and Frankie's face. Chris, how you doing?
Good, yeah. I listened back to that Monty McNair interview and some of Mike Brown's, but really Monty's, because like I said yesterday, Monty's one of those speakers where you've got to listen to it two or three times to really hear and read between the lines of what he's saying. And yeah, I mean, I would love for callers to call in if they had any specific problems with any of the lines of questions or if they felt like something needed to be dug deeper on. And I just personally felt like they were really good questions. I thought, listening back, Sean Cunningham had a great question to Monty McNair, a very pointed question that's escaping me at this moment, or else I would give him full credit. But there was a lot of really good questions in there. So, yeah, definitely if anybody had issues with yesterday's press conference, would love to hear what you guys thought and what you wanted to hear, because I think that's really the one question that I'm going to have for the roundtable, is just what was your expectation going into it and what ultimately were you hoping to get out of that press conference? Because Nate kind of pointed at it yesterday. I think people were kind of expecting some or hoping for some sort of slip up and something where, you know, maybe we can run with some headlines or anything like that. But that's just not the kind of speaker that Monty McNair is, and really not Mike Brown if he's not trying to prove a point. And so I ultimately didn't have a problem with the press conferences yesterday. And all of this is just me talking around the fact that I won't say don't want to talk about the NFL draft, but I'm nervous. As you alluded to, I am nervous for today's NFL draft because the Vikings are in a pretty big spot. They potentially could trade up for their franchise quarterback. So, as much Kings talk to keep my mind off of the Vikings, that'd be great.
And you talk about hope, right? Yes. And I'm likening it to airports and things like that. There is no other hopeful day or no more hopeful day than fans of teams that aren't very good or didn't get to the promised land than draft day. So,
especially getting a franchise quarterback.
We have the percentages on how often these quarterbacks, wide receivers, every position actually hits. We'll get into all that. 1:30, we're doing our own draft with things outside of sports, and you can obviously be a part of that conversation. But it doesn't matter who you're a fan of. 916-339-1140. Call in with your NFL draft take, whoever you root for. Raiders, are you going to get your guy? Or are you going to get Spencer Rattler in the third round? Okay, you're going to get Penix. Who are you going to get? Niners, who do you want? Do you want to trade? Brandon Ayuk, that's still a name. If you're a fan of a random team like Chris, you can call in too. But we're not going to bury the lead here. We just don't want to do too much because at 10:15, we're really going to break this down in a couple minutes. The Sacramento snubs continue. Malik Monk. And I knew this would happen. And I think, Chris, deep down in your heart of hearts, you knew this would happen.
Yeah, you can feel the momentum.
And if you were a Kings fan, deep down, I think we all knew this would happen because that's what's been happening all season long. Three strikes, you're out, NBA writers. They need to do something about this. These people, what was it, seven people did not even have Malik on their ballot, okay? That tells me that not that you don't know ball, you don't watch ball. And we complain, Chris, and we sit here and we talk about the last 2 minute reports and things like that. I don't understand. We have to talk to somebody with the vote, okay? What is the process? And there are some people that I know that we're friends with, we've had on this show, that we need to have back on. What is the process of this thing? What are you required to do? You need to make this like a book report, okay? And when you put in your votes, why you are doing this, because for Malik Monk to have the numbers that he had and not be on certain people's ballots, that just tells me you didn't watch Kings basketball, sure. Which isn't a problem, but you can't give people that type of power.
Yeah. Sam Amick, we can play it later in the show. Sam Amick was on the morning show this morning, and he has a vote, and he went through the process, so mm-hmm. we can definitely play that. And he even talks about, because Rasay Fox yesterday on Twitter did post that, you know, hey, she thinks that as a voter, a lot of these people are writers and mm-hmm. obviously media people, so have to kind of explain their thought process for their job. Why not have to explain your vote? Sam had some interesting things, just to kind of counter that, and, you know, not necessarily saying it was a bad idea, but just why he wouldn't necessarily be in favor of that. I think he brought up some interesting points, which we can, definitely lay out later, but I ultimately think they got it wrong. I mean, I understand the voters' thought process behind Naz Reid, but ultimately, I mean, we talked about it all week, and we've been talking about it forever. Malik Monk is a sixth man, and he perfectly represents what the sixth man of the year should be. And this is funny too, because you could argue, you know, for a lot of awards, you could say, oh, don't just look at the stats, don't just look at the stats. But this is one where you can truly look at the stats and figure it out. And I'm not saying that's the end all be all, because there is a lot more to just the eye test too, where Malik eye test wise was incredibly more important for his team than Naz was for his, but 15 points per game coming off the bench, the amount of clutch things that Malik did this year. We talked about it earlier this season in comparison to De'Aaron Fox, who won clutch player of the year last year. It was clear that Malik had taken a massive, massive leap, and we have a ton of different numbers and stats that'll show just how unprecedented it is that Malik had the season and seasons that he has had here in Sacramento and still has nothing in terms of an award to show for it. It's insane, honestly.
It reminds me, honestly, doing the back-to-back thing, how he didn't win either season. The last thing, and this, I don't know what actually means more, because I know this other award has kind of gone to the wayside, and now this guy is a champion, so I don't know how much it bothers him. But Aaron Gordon with Zach LaVine and those ridiculous slam dunk contests, how he lost both and they were both really tough, and you thought, man, he could have at least got one, right? It's in the same area of that, and Malik Monk is probably thinking, well, I might as well be a starter now, because you're not going to have a better season. But we will continue to break that down around 10:15, and we will get that sound from Sam Amick and all of that, Chris. Wanted to get into something, because yesterday we were reading off the – or a couple days ago we were reading off the Athletic – and how they did the player polls, and Eric Spoelstra being number one.
That's right.
And I don't even know if it was close necessarily for Eric Spoelstra to the number one guy that players want to play for. Mm-hmm. And I'm one of those guys who I do think that genius word is used a little bit too much. It gets thrown around with music. It gets thrown around with sports. This guy's a genius. And I do think it gets used a little bit too much. But it's either ownage or it's genius with Eric Spoelstra to not have Terry Rozier, who that was one of the bigger pulls from this trade deadline when a lot of people didn't do a lot of stuff. You don't have Terry Rozier. You don't have Jimmy Butler. You beat the Celtics at home. It's getting to the point now, and now you're tied 1-1. The Heat may still lose. I don't know when Jimmy is back. But for the Heat to continue to do this year in and year out, it's just incredible.
Yeah.
It's just incredible.
No, I mean, this is what Heat culture is, I guess, right? Like, when they say Heat culture, and I know a lot of people got really sick of that term last year, especially. But this is it, man. I mean, you're playing the best team in the NBA this year. The Boston Celtics ran away with the best record in the NBA by far. And you just took in a game two and all the situation and all the circumstances you just laid out. No excuses. They got it done. They didn't care. And that's a team that, you know, I think a lot of people actually have fear of. Like,
right.
I think a lot of times fear, too, is a word that might get overblown. Oh, yeah, this team is terrified. Oh, they don't want to play them. That's overblown a bit. I think with this Celtics team, I think that there is actual teams that don't want to play the Boston Celtics. Unfortunately, Miami, or I guess unfortunately for Boston, Miami is not one of those teams. They don't fear anybody. They think they literally say, oh, the bigger the opponent, the more we get up for it and the more we believe that we can do it, because this is quite literally what they do. And, you know, I'm not saying Miami's going to win the series. I still think Boston's going to handle it pretty easily. But this is like a – I don't think zombie's the right word, but, like, these guys just can't be killed, man.
Right,
like,
right.
You think they're down, and this definitely applies to last year too, but, like, they just don't go away.
Mm-mm.
And it's got to be infuriating to be the Celtics or to be a Celtics fan, and you run away with the season, and what's your prize? A round one series against the team that has had your number and eliminated you last year in the playoffs.
Yeah, and we'll get into a little bit later in the show when we break down the playoffs, but there is something to be said about Miami always putting themselves in a position where they're playing with house money.
Yeah.
And one of these days, they're going to have to play with some expectations, but that's not this season.
No.
Again, that is
so
not
true.
This season. When we return, we will break down Sacramento. This is from a mid-rock on the Sac Chat. Shout out to the Sac Chat. Continuing to be snub city. How do you get this so wrong? Styles and Watkins.
Get used to it. I'm telling you, it's going to happen again.
Sactown Sports.
Kia Six Man Award goes to Naz Reid of the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Oh, congratulations, Naz Reid.
Live and local, it's Styles and Watkins. Watch the show on youtube.com/SactownSports1140.
Or listen on the Sactown Sports app.
You don't have to clean out your ears. Well, maybe you do, but you didn't mishear there. Malik Monk did not win Sixth Man of the Year, even though, Chris, I mean, we were checking up until the day. I don't think Vegas ever, Naz Reid never took over as the favorite.
Don't believe so. Yeah.
He never took over as a favorite. Maybe Vegas has more sense than some of these writers. And for the second year in a row, maybe more egregious than last season because his numbers were better than last season, Malik Monk does not take home the Sixth Man of the Year award due to essentially the 10 games. Due to Luka flopping, number one. And number two, Luka strikes again. He just will not let this franchise live.
Just let us breathe.
Ever. And that is pretty tough for Malik Monk. And, you know, a lot of these guys, Chris, we go back and forth. Do they care about these things? You could tell Malik Monk cared. When you do think in your heart of hearts that you could be a starter and you do the right thing by having the right mindset, I can come off the bench, I can do whatever. Malik heard all the talks. He listens to the show, fastest growing show in Sacramento, in the universe. And he knows that a lot of people thought that he should be starting, but he said, I'm just going to do what my job is. I'm just going to go out there and do my job. And he did to the highest order.
Yeah.
So for Malik to not get this because of an injury, I simply thought that the injury happened late enough that he'd be able to hold on. If this is 20 games in or even 15, I thought, all right, this could go in a different direction. And, you know, we're trying to figure out, okay, were they able to separate the fact that the numbers, Naz Reid's numbers were ballooned, okay, when he was coming off, when he became a starter, when Karl Anthony Towns went down. I'd like to believe that that did go into the thought process for the voters, but I have no clue.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've listened up to it, and I've heard a couple writers who said they were voting for Naz Reid, and again, like, it makes sense to me. I think it is just a matter of which one you weigh more, but the consensus that I kind of got from people who voted for Naz Reid was essentially this. It's that, you know, where we would say Malik has shown his value, you know, again, like in clutch minutes and just by the Kings being, what were they, 4-6 pretty much when after Malik went down. You know, that's how Malik showed his value throughout the season. And of course, his points leading the NBA in bench points per game. Naz Reid, the argument was another way of exemplifying your value as a sixth man is a true sixth man is somebody who, when someone in the starting lineup goes down, is able to replace that production without much of a fall off. And that's the counter from the Naz Reid side.
So he was still a sixth man, even though he was starting.
Yes, because as the sixth man, it is your responsibility to pick up where the starters leave off. And if a starter is out, a true sixth man of the year candidate is somebody who's able to step into that starting role, which you
that's
can
just
see
a good
how
teammate
that's,
award.
I mean, you can see how you
no,
could say
it.
You're coming off the bench, and if you're able, a true sign of a good bench player is somebody who's also able to start because it shows you're not just a bench player. You're somebody who is deciding to be on the bench for the benefit of your team. And like, it's not a perfect argument. I don't love it. I'd probably still give the edge to Malik, but I definitely understand it. And this is also one of those where I don't want to be the cliche, but like, it doesn't have to be putting Naz Reid down in order get Malik to the award.
Naz Reid, yes, we're not acting like this wasn't close.
Yeah.
Like it shouldn't have been close. It definitely should have. And we all like Naz Reid. I mean, he's a baller.
People are clamoring for him to come here a couple of years ago.
And he'll probably get I don't know what his contract there is. Didn't he just sign one?
He just resigned.
And you've talked about, do you move Naz Reid in and move off of Karl Anthony Towns? But we can get into
moving.
That later into the summer. The thing is, Chris, there is a cap on how many games you can start.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yes, it's half. You have to come off the bench for half of your team's game.
So it does matter to some degree.
He started 14 games.
There you go. So basically, like he started while around the time Malik got hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that. Let's hear from Sam Amick kind of breaking down the process and where things may have went sideways for Malik.
So in these days, I have wanted transparency in the past just because journalistically I think that's good. But, man, I got to be honest. Like, if you study the results, that local effect that you're talking about, it's just obviously a very real thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that, you know, go look at all the MVP votes in Denver. And I, you know, that's not out yet, obviously. But tell me if anybody went against Jokic. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, I voted for him. I think he should be the guy. But conversely, go look at Oklahoma City media. And you know, that part bothers me only because it's one thing if you see a guy more and you have a greater appreciation for him. The politics are real. I mean, I'm honestly, I forget, I might have shared this last week, guys, but I'm giving some thought to not voting anymore because I don't really care to. It's funny because, like, Brisset's idea, I understand the desire to have an explanation. And there's nothing wrong with her idea, but I don't, you know, I go to the game the other night and a fairly prominent agent is asking me if I voted for two of his guys on All-NBA. Mm. And now you feel like not only are you in a different spot with that agent, but he's going to probably make sure that the player knows. And actually, I don't even mind. It's harmless enough to share. It was Rich Paul who has De'Aaron Fox, and I did not vote De'Aaron All-NBA, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm national, but I live here, so you kind of end up going, all right, I mean, if De'Aaron's in his feelings about it, I respect that. I get that. There's nothing I can do about it. We gotta do what we think is right based on who deserves what. But the politics that come with it are very real.
Yeah. So basically, Sam is, and that was good on Sam for just being real, and that's just who he is. So basically, Sam is saying that he is being objective, and he did not vote De'Aaron because I'm watching
integrity.
Basketball, and that is what it is. But the issue is most local media aren't going to do that, and they're going to ride for their guys regardless of whether or not it actually makes sense.
Pretty much. And he also said, like, there's the human element of it, too, which plays into the politics, which is, okay, let's say you're a Minnesota play-by-play guy, mm-hmm. and you did truly watch the NBA, as many games as you could, and you actually do believe that Malik Monk is the sixth man of the year. Well, if that becomes public, now your fan base locally, if Naz Reid loses that award, is going to look at you a little bit sideways and say, mm-hmm. you took away this award from our guy. You're supposed to be our guy. How are you not going to vote for us? And so that's kind of where the politics come into it. And it is a bit of, you know, Sam says Rich Paul pressed him on whether or not he voted for De'Aaron. That's where it truly is like politics, where these are battlegrounds. And you need to, hey, I need to be able to bank in at least these home votes because I need to be able to rely on Sacramento media voting for Sacramento guy. And, you know, it gets a little bit weird and a little bit dicey, but I think ultimately that's why we're not going to hear from, you know, from these individuals who voted for whatever reason they did. I just think that these people want to keep a bit of the anonymous vote just for their own, I mean, I don't want to say public safety, but, you know, sure. So they don't get flamed on Twitter essentially all summer.
Yeah, and this is what happens, right? Somebody gets snubbed on your team, and now all of a sudden, the system is messed up.
Yeah.
And it's not that the system wasn't messed up beforehand, right. But now that it affects you, now you care. And I'm just going to be honest, that's exactly what's happening here, specifically with me. I'm not going to speak for you, but I would say for myself, if Malik wins, all of a sudden there's no problem with the system,
right.
Even though either way there is a problem with the system. And I think the agent thing is really interesting because I think that's more interesting to me than the location because Malik didn't lose because of Minnesota.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yes. There's not enough voters in Minnesota for Malik
to
lose.
Yeah.
I think, and I just looked up, Naz Reid is not represented by Rich Paul. So
really?
I just checked that.
That's a great thing to check.
I just checked that. Well, his agent. So his agent is not Rich Paul.
Okay.
So it's, I think for me, the issue is more about if you don't watch either of them, okay, and you have a vote and you live in Florida or wherever, well, they have a better record. So I'm just going to go with Naz Reid. I actually don't know. That's more of my issue is maybe not explaining why, but how do you keep guys that are I guess supposed to be objective because they're not connected? How do you keep them honest
about,
if they're just not watching them play?
Right.
And I don't know how to do that. We continue the conversation when we return. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Had to let it drop.
It's the only way to do it.
Chris is trying to figure out if the Vikings are going to rise or drop in stock after
tonight's draft. I cannot state how nervous I am.
By the way, 916-339-1140, any takes you have on your team tonight for the draft, Niners, Raiders, Vikings, if you want to get on Chris's good side.
I still want to get a good gauge of like what our listener fan base is, like for football. Because, you know, we obviously talk a lot of Niners. Obviously, I think there's a large percentage Niners. But, like, you know, there's just so many random fans that I run into in Sacramento.
I saw one.
Incredibly random.
I saw one. I don't know that they followed me or not. But I posted today about Logan Webb not being one of the top 10 pitchers based on Major League Baseball put out a list. And somebody responded to me, and they were Kings.
Okay.
And then when I looked, and they said, it's only April. So then I clicked on their profile, and they were Kings. And then in their profile picture, they had a Dodgers shirt on. So they were Kings, Dodgers, and then I think Niners as well?
Ooh, that's good.
There's some crazy.
J-Mars.
Yeah.
There's some crazy combinations.
That's the J-Mars. That's what we call that
lethal
one.
Lethal combo.
There's some crazy combinations. Yeah. This person is... In Sacramento, and they are Kings, ooh, Niners, Dodgers.
This
oh my
opens
God, my ex
fast.
Too.
Really?
Kings,
oh boy.
Niners, Dodgers.
Yeah, what a combo. Yeah. Combo.
What are we? Interesting. The most common combo is probably Kings
for Sacramento.
Yeah, for Sacramento. I feel like the most
Kings,
common
Niners,
combination
Giants.
I personally run into is Kings, Raiders, A's.
Mm.
I have
stop.
3 to 4. And now, again, this is Kings, personal
Raiders.
Bias.
I think that's probably 1-2, right? It makes no sense. You just added on the Kings.
Right. It's either
to your
Giants or Niners. Giants, or A's, A's, yeah. And Raiders.
By the way, if anybody is listening, because this Dodger fan did remind me of something, can somebody speak up? If you're Niners, Dodgers, can someone explain that to me?
Yeah.
Can someone explain that to me?
How are you high-fiving somebody and then, like,
I'm trying to think, because there are a lot of Niners, Dodgers out there, and I'm just trying to figure out, if you're from SoCal, why did you grab them? Is it because,
if you didn't specifically like the Giants, why didn't you just go A's? Like, if that's
right.
If you
but if you're
the
in
Dodgers,
SoCal, help me out here. If you were in SoCal when the Niners and the Raiders were up north, did you just grab the Niners? And
I'll text
then,
my ex. I'll ask him.
That's Niners, not a good Dodgers. Idea. That's not a good enough excuse to text your ex.
Niners, Dodgers. Somebody explain that one to me. As we talk NFL draft sponsored by Xfinity Sports Zone, fans can personalize their live sports viewing experience by watching multiple games at once and easily finding their favorite team and stats. We have some sound here as we continue to talk about the latest Sacramento snub, also known as Snub City. It's hot in Snub City once you get to summer in Snub City. That's what we're doing right now. And Kevin Garnett, this was a week ago. A week ago, Kevin Garnett had some things to say about Malik Monk and Naz Reid and who his pick would be for Sixth Man of the Year.
Nobody hotter off the bench than Malik Monk. Malik Monk comes in instant coffee, dog. He is that Colombian gold, you understand? He that right. Straight up. Y'all know you hear that, boy. You hear that? No. Boy, you better. Come on, man. Let's get off. Right. Boy, you hear me?
There you go.
Top tier. I think that is the greatest thing that's ever been said about Malik Monk. I think I can confidently say that. I have no idea what the hell he means. I don't know what, when you hear that, I don't know if that's in reference to the humdiddly. I don't know if that's
if we want, you know, I believe his name might have been Julian. Julian called in. And he said, hey guys, if it means keeping Malik, we can get rid of, we want the monk, yeah, right? And we can go back to humdiddly, but if all else fails, we can just play that.
When you hear that, look out. That's incredible. What a now. Like, sometimes I've been a little hard on KG and Paul. That show sometimes is terrible.
Yeah.
It is just two old heads talking in a barbershop. But, you know, that's why you got to, you know, even a clock is a broken clock is right twice a day, right?
That's
so it's
correct.
Like, you know, you'll find a gem out of that show every so often, and you put a mic in front of KG's mouth and something will come out.
Yeah, and I don't even know what the the timing is on these things. It feels like shows that none of these guys have any, there's no schedule.
Yeah,
these shows
no.
just come
they
out
just drop
at
whatever,
all
yeah.
times of the day and of the week. At 11 o'clock, we teased this yesterday, and with everything that happened with the exit interviews, we are going to play it today. Bobby Marks,
yes.
NBA.
Oh, my God, so good.
Basically finance insider for Bobby Marks or for ESPN. Bobby Marks, he was on The Drive Guys a couple days ago with some outstanding stuff. We are playing that at 11, so that will answer a lot of questions about the Kings roster and what the Kings can do. We're continuing to break this down because we know it's confusing. It's not just confusing for you. It is confusing for us as well. So that is at 11 o'clock. You will not want to miss that. And get your pen and paper out and take some notes on that. Chris, some of these numbers, okay. Naz Reid as a starter, 17-7-2.
Yeah.
And Naz Reid as on the bench, 12-4-1. Malik on the bench, 15-2-5. And I guess none of that matters now that you said the thought process for some of these guys. Hey, the ability to be a quote-unquote sixth man means that you can do a lot.
Right.
So I guess it would be unfair to if the roles were reversed, would it be unfair to take away, let's say Naz Reid stayed on the bench and Malik, and let's put our purple lenses on now. Now Malik finally became a starter towards the end. Once Kevin Huerter gets hurt and Malik enters and Malik balls out, would we then be saying, well, He was a starter. You know what I mean? We would probably be saying, look, Malik is so good as a sixth man, he could also be a starter.
Right. Absolutely, yeah. I think we would absolutely be saying that. And I honestly just think Malik Monk being on the floor, I don't even know if he necessarily had to play well. I just think him being on the floor would have won him the award. I truly do think that you gave people like 2 weeks to kind of craft their final narrative of Naz Reid having a moment. And then, of course, the Kings falling out at the end of the year.
Doesn't
I think
help.
It doesn't help at all. You know, you fall out of the minds of everybody. And everybody, we saw it last year work for us. So in a weird way, it is the pendulum swinging the other way. The Kings got what? Clutch Player of the Year, Executive of the Year, Coach of the Year. And they had I think Sabonis was the only All-NBA. I don't think Fox ended up, I can't remember if Fox ended up making All-NBA or not last year, but they got all the accolades last year because they finished as a 3 seed. Now you see what happens when you miss out on the playoffs and you finish below the top 8 is you get forgotten and you're not at the front of the line to win these awards. If the Kings were the 6 seed, Malik Monk is winning that award.
Yeah.
People were just looking for an excuse to not give it to him. And like you said earlier, sometimes if you don't watch enough games, it's as simple as Naz Reid was the best bench player on the best team in the West or one of the best teams in the West. We're going to reward him for that because Malik Monk, yeah, he put up crazy numbers, but his team ended up out of the playoffs. So how much impact did he really have when you have this other guy who clearly impacted winning? It's just giving that it's giving voters an easy opt out. And I do think that Malik just being out there, staying at the front of mind, and you know, Malik said it in his exit interview. If he believes if he was out there, the Kings probably are still playing basketball. I think it's kind of as simple as that. If Malik plays, he wins.
And I think it's a good point because the whole, well, him being out and the Kings falling off a cliff, that should help his argument. That never helps an argument.
Right. Yeah.
When you disappear in the minds of others, that never helps.
Especially not at the end.
We do the same thing with MVP. Well, the fact that they are the 10th seed without Steph, I mean, that means how important that it never
doesn't
works
work
like that.
Yeah.
Let's go to Caleb, who wants to be a part of the conversation. Nice. What's up, Caleb? What you got for us?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I've been living in California most of my life, but I've been a Viking for 25 years.
Wow.
Caleb, please call back. Caleb, you're cutting in and out.
Caleb,
please call back.
Call
we need
back.
You.
We're up against
I need
it.
To hear your
call
thoughts.
Back, and we will get you a better connection because Chris' eyes or ears perked or both, actually. TC, we see you as well. We will get to you when we return. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. We got Caleb back, who is a fellow Sacramento Vikings fan, like Chris.
We're sparse.
And we're trying to get a better connection so Caleb and Chris can bro out. TC, see you. JR, we see you as well as we talk NFL draft sponsored by Xfinity Sports Zone. All the sports information and live games you need all in one place. Let's get to Caleb. Caleb, hoping it works out this time. What's up, Caleb? What you got for us?
All right, can y'all hear me better?
Loud
now?
And clear,
yes.
Never better.
Perfect. Yeah, I've been a Vikings fan since 1998, Randy Moss's rookie year, but I've lived in California all my life, man. And I'm nervous about this draft. This is probably the most nervous I've been for a draft in a very long time. I don't know what we should do. I don't know if we should trade the house and trade up. Should we sit back and trade? I don't know. This is the most nervous. I want Drake May.
Yes.
I want Drake May really bad. But to sell the house and everything like that, it's a toss-up for me. I don't want J.J. McCarthy, but I really want Drake May. And, like, I'm with Chris, man. This is the most nervous I've been in a long time.
Wow.
Yeah, it's real, man. It's just very rare. I mean, the Vikings haven't been in this spot in a very long time. I mean, I think they took Teddy Bridgewater, but they traded back into the first round, so no one was really expecting that to happen. And then the infamous Christian Ponder draft was really the last time the Vikings were we don't mention that name in the household. But yeah, that was really the last time the Vikings were in any sort of quarterback conversation when it came to the top of the draft. And
when that was a piece they actually needed.
Yes, absolutely. And now, I'm right there with you, Caleb. I'm all in on Drake May, and I personally think this is a situation where you got to go all in. Like, if you have viewed this as your franchise quarterback moving forward,
yeah.
What's a first round pick next year? I mean, that's going to be so invaluable. It's going to be so, you're not even going to think about it because you're going to have Drake May. And ultimately, if you mess up the pick, a first round pick next year is not going to save you. So I would go all in to get the guy that you want.
And we already have enough pieces as it is on offense and everything like that. So why not trade the house, right?
100%.
There you go. Thanks for the call, Caleb. That was great stuff. You made Chris's day.
100%.
Here you go. This is from Paul Hembo calculated the percentage of first round picks that hit or miss. Adam Schefter then put him on. He is an ESPN content producer. The data encompasses the 20 drafts spanning 2000 to 2019. The hit rates for the different positions. I'll talk about the ones that everybody cares about.
Sure.
The hit rate from 2000 to 2019, and they calculate hit rate as a player that signed the second contract. The hit rate is 46%. It's in the yellow. 46% for QBs. So you look at Jaden Daniels, you look at Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix, Caleb Williams. History tells us only about two of those are going to be good.
Is that first round specific, or is that all
first round specific?
Interesting. Yeah, I mean,
46% is Drake. What side, Caleb? Is Drake May going to be on?
Is maybe like that Trey Lance, you know, draft? Maybe that draft was
terrible.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But there was like five quarterbacks taken in that one, and only one of them was really good. So maybe that kind of balances the scales a bit here is what I'm hoping for.
Here you go. Wide receiver for all of you who are cool with trading Brandon Ayuk, because there's so many wide receivers out there, you Niner fans, that want to move off of Ayuk and not pay him. The wide receiver hit rate in terms of wide receivers that signed the second contract. I know some teams just don't want to pay. The wide receiver hit rate as far as second contracts, it's in the red. It's the lowest percentage.
Yeah.
27%. So a lot of wide receivers keep coming out. And look, we talked with a lot of wide receivers in Vegas, and it feels like this is the age of wide receivers. I'd be curious, Chris, to be fair, to see 2020 to 2023. And they're probably not on their second contract yet, but I do think that some of these wide receivers, it has felt like a golden age, but from 2000 to 2019, 27%, only 27% of those guys have signed a second contract.
And that's really interesting, too, that it ends in 2019, because I'm looking at it here. The 2020 draft is one that I was just going to reference when it comes to that hit rate that you just mentioned with receivers, 20%. In 2020, which is a draft that I'm very familiar with because that's when the Vikings got Justin Jefferson, in that draft, the receivers taken ahead of Justin Jefferson, Henry Ruggs, Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb, there's a hit. Then you have Jalen Reagor,
who?
Justin Jefferson, Brandon Ayuk. So those were the first round picks.
And that's actually a
and
good.
And that's probably a that's good abo- one, right?
That's above 27%.
Yeah.
Because you got, well, we'll see with Ayuk, but that's the thing. That's an asterisk next to some of the wide receivers because Ayuk being moved. Or I guess the whole
that's
thing is.
That's probably why they stop at 2020.
Right.
Or 2019.
I would like to see the percentage. If you really want to do full-on misses, you would have to remove the team that drafted them. You would just do whether or not they signed a second contract.
Right.
You know what I mean? Who cares if it's the team that if Ayuk gets moved, that doesn't mean the Niners miss.
It doesn't mean he sucks.
So it's not a perfect.
It's not a perfect number.
No, not at all. Let's go to TC, who's been hanging on. What's up, TC? What you got for us?
Alan, Chris, what's up with my pros, man?
What's up, man? TC? You mad about this Malik thing? What's happening?
Man, hey, you know I am. Hey, I'm still feeling dated. I'm still mad about bro. It would have been a gentleman sweep. Like you said the other day, Chris, in the place of Thunder. I'm still sick. I had to watch the minute of the playoffs, bro. And that Malik Monk situation made me even that much more matter, bro. I might catch up later on or whatever it may be, bro, but I'm still sick about that, bro. The Thunder would not have beat us, dog. I don't know how we lost to the Pelicans.
A gentleman sweep, TC. A gentleman sweep.
What? Allen, 4-1, bro. I would, and that's not because I'm mad. I'm not speaking. I really think we would have beat the Thunder, bro, 4-1. Dead serious.
Yeah, I mean, well, unfortunately, we'll never know, but I would be with you if the Kings got hot. But 4-1, that's That's hot, TC.
You got to look at those games, Alan. But look, on the Niners, though, check it out. Hey, I'm with old boy when he said I'm nervous. I'm kind of nervous. I'm, like, torn. I'm in the middle. I'm kind of nervous, but I'm not. One thing I can say, like I said yesterday, I don't trust Kyle and John with 2 first-round picks. I don't want to trade B.A. away. If they do and they make the mistake, bro, I guarantee, bro, they're going to smoke both those 2 first-round picks. I mark my word right now, we'll be talking about it. Say, man, TC was right, bro. They screwed that up, dog.
Yeah.
Stay tagged, pay B.A. And at the pick at number 31, bro, has to be an offensive tackle, a receiver, or a corner. If Kool-Aid drops to us, DB, draft him. If the boy from South Carolina drops, you might as well draft him on whatever offensive tackle that drops to us, because it's a deep draft, bro. That's all I got, my guys.
Yeah. No, thanks for the call, TC. Look, Marvin Harris.
I think TC's right on that one.
Based on, okay, let's raise it a little bit, Chris.
Yeah.
27%. Yeah, well, the 4-1, TC.
4-1, I can't agree with.
4-1.
Yeah, I agree with the second part.
Maybe,
the Shanahan, two
maybe seven games. Maybe, I would say, because I don't know if the Kings would win a game seven in Oklahoma City. It's been rocking there.
Yeah.
You might be able to convince me if the Kings got hotter than fish grease. Shout out Mark Jones. You might be able to convince me Kings in six.
Let's not forget, too, like Malik still probably isn't playing.
Well,
Keegan
didn't it kind of come
probably,
out that he may have been able to play?
At some point in the series, but maybe not the first two games. Like, I don't think, I don't know if he would be ready right now. And let's also not forget, Keegan pulled his groin in that last
That's
game
right.
they played.
And groins are nothing
games.
To play
yeah.
with.
No, not at all.
Groins,
no.
it is not a game.
No, so, you know, I think it's...
defensively, I'm not comparing myself to an NBA player. I pulled my groin about five years ago. This is in co-ed basketball. Same level competition
as the
NBA. No, I never
yeah,
will. I got multiple co-ed rings, okay? And you never realize how much you use that thing until...
Okay.
I'm just saying, because I was in a soccer league after that. I tried to make a... I'm just saying, okay, enough. Imagine trying to defend with a pulled groin. And Keegan, he's got to defend.
Yeah, no way.
You got to defend Shea with the pulled groin.
No, there's no way. There's no way.
Come on.
No, I personally think, it'd be 2-0 OKC.
You know what?
Right
no,
now.
Simona's laughing too much behind the glass. Let's get to a break. JR, we see you when we return. Also, we will read off the wide receivers. We see the text coming through. More Kings talk as well. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown.